There is a pasuk in this week's parasha, which is a well-known one. It's well-known because it's in the Torah. It's well-known because it's in our morning davening. It's well-known because Herman Wouk used it as the title of one of his books. The pasuk says, "Zeh keli v'yanvehu." This is my God, and I will glorify Him. And the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, expresses a little bit of shock at that idea. How exactly do you glorify God? How is it possible? It's not like we really have any access to God in that sense, to change in one way or the other. So the Gemara says, no, what it really means is Hisnoi Lefano V'mitzvos. That you shall glorify Him through doing mitzvos in a nicer way. I.e., that is the concept that we have of Hidur Mitzvah. And the way the Gemara understands it there, basically seems to be a din and a chetza of a mitzvah, that when you're dealing with physical objects that are used for mitzvos, that they should be things that are pleasing to the eye. They should be aesthetically pleasing. Say for Torahna, Palasna, the Gemara says, different objects that are used in the service of the mitzvah, when you're not saying chetza in a necessarily in a brisker sense. Real cheftas, real objects, physical objects that are used for mitzvahs, they should be objects that are nice, objects that are a little bit fancy. It is a little bit of a discussion in Rishonim and in Achronim whether or not this din is minatara or not. Sounds like it is din minatara, the Gemara is learning out from the Pasuk. There's a little bit of room to discuss it. It is a little bit of a question in Rishonim, different posts in time, different places that might be been to Rabbanim. The Ritva in Masechta Sukkah and Dafir Aleph also sounds like he's saying that. He's not really saying it straight out. That's why there's a little bit of room to question it. The Ritva basically says that there's a mitzvah of Agura. There's a mitzvah of Luluf Tzarech Eged. That you're supposed to tie your Luluf together. But that din is not Ma'akev. If your Luluf is not tied together, if it doesn't have an Eged, the little clips that we have, so you're still kosher. Your Luluf still works. So the Ritva says that din of Luluf Tzarech Eged, tying a Luluf together, so that must not be a din min haTorah. Because he's presuming, and he spells out his presumption, that any din min haTorah must be ma'akev. That the Torah doesn't give us lechachilus and b'dievitz. That's a discussion in general, that's something that Tosfos and Masechet Nidah seems to suggest, and Daf Samach Vav, that when the Torah gives us dinim, they're all absolute. It's only Chazal who made dinim that are l'chachila, that are ideally to be done, but if you don't do them, it's still good. But when the Torah gives din, it's always makev. That's a little bit of a question. Rishonim, but there were Rishonim who believe that. So that's where the Ritva sounds in Sukkah, and therefore the Ritva says, this din of Luluf, Sarach, Eged, of tying together Luluf, so that can't be Minat Torah. Rather, he says, it's Drabonon, and Mishum Zekeli V'Anveyu, because of Hidur Mitzvah. So it sounds like the Ritva is saying, this din of Hidur Mitzvah that comes out of Zekeli V'Anveyu is a din Drabonon. There is a little bit of room to read it differently. It could be that the general exhortation is Minat Torah, just the certain examples that we might come up with, certain things that we might do in the spirit of that din might be Drabonon, but in any case, that's the way the Ritva possibly sounds. And there are a lot of Rishonim on both sides of the fence without going into all of them now. Some suggest there is a Gemara in Maseches Bava Kamma and Daf Tes. The Gemara says that Hidur Mitzvah Ad Shlish, that when you see a mitzvah and you want to add on to it, you want to do it a little bit better. So this itself is a question. I'm sure I'm how to read. We're just going to favor one reading right now. So let's say you have two esrogim. You have one esrog that's kosher and another esrog that's better. Another esrog that's mahodis. So the Gemara says, you know, if you want to know how to decide whether or not you're obligated to do the fancier one, you only have to add on a third. That basically, let's say the kosher esrog costs $50, and the super fancy schmancy hider esrog costs $300, six times as much. So then, that's beyond the boundaries of what you can be expected to do. The hider mitzvah means you only add on a third of the price. Then it's a question in the Gemara whether a third is defined as internally or externally, milvar, milagat. So basically, let's say a basic esrog costs $30. So how much should you add on to get a fancier esrog? So a third, does a third mean $10? 10 is a third of 30. Or does it mean $15? Because after you add on the $15, that will be a third of the whole total. So basically, is it 33% to 50%? That's the question of the Gemara, and the Gemara doesn't answer. So, Rishonim debate what the conclusion of that Gemara should be. And the Shulchan Aruch, I believe the Shulchan Aruch paskins Vakula, basically you add on 33%. So, some suggest, among them, Rabbi Yitzchok Ochanan, his Chuvas, as Rabbi Shaffer likes to say, a word from our sponsor. Rabbi Yitzchok Ochanan and his Chuvas, saying Yitzchok, suggests that, she was named after him, suggests that the fact that the Gemara doesn't paskin, right? The Gemara doesn't say whether it's the larger share or the smaller share, 33% to 50%. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins 33%. Apparently, it's a safek lahalach. We don't know how to paskin. And we take a more lenient conclusion, so it must be because of the Drabban. That's how Rabbi Yitzchok Ochanan suggests. So in any case, there's a different Rishonim on different positions of this question, whether Heder Mitzvah is a Dim and a Torah or a Dim and Drabbanan. The Dvar Yehoshua points out, Dvar Yehoshua was a Dayan in Tel Aviv. Dayan Ehrenberg has many fascinating tshuvas. So he says the whole idea that it might be a Dim Drabbanan is very difficult. Because, alright, so we're already familiar with the fact that sometimes the Gemara is going to quote Pesukim and tell you a Din is connected to a Pasuk, and still it's going to be a Din Drabbanan. Okay, that's what we call an Asmachta. Right, it's not such a fired idea that a Gemara can quote a Pasuk and it's not really Pshat. But that's normally true when there's another Pshat in the Pasuk. That when there's a Pashto of the Krah, when there's a way to read the Pasuk straight, and then the Gemara tells you another interpretation, so maybe that other interpretation may not actually be Pshat in the Pasuk. That might just be an Asmachta. But the problem is, we don't have another way to read this pasuk. We don't know, the pasuk pshat doesn't work, right? We can't, Zekeli Mvei, what else does it mean? You can't paint God. What do you need to do that's going to make him any more glorified? The Gemara tells you that it must mean, it's no fun of the mitzvahs. And the problem is, if you're going to tell me that that's an asmachta, and it's not really what the Dimon HaTorah is telling me, then we're stuck. We don't have a pasuk interpretation for the pasuk. So Dvar Yeshua is right, this whole possibility that Heder Mitzvah is going to be a Din Drabbanan, and that the Gemara doesn't really mean that's what the Pasuk is saying, so that's hard as well. Alright, in any case, it is a Machlokas Rishonim and Machlokas Poskim. And one could ask about this Din in general. So what are we saying when we say that there is a Din of Heder Mitzvah? So are we saying that this is basically a detail in all mitzvahs, that every mitzvah has certain rules? And the Torah is telling us there's one general rule also that's applicable, you stick it into every mitzvah, that within every mitzvah there is an additional rule which we're not going to repeat in the context of every mitzvah, we'll just say it once and you'll know that it's applicable to all mitzvahs, that the mitzvah should be done in the nicest possible way. But basically, when it boils down to it, it's a din in mitzvahs in general. Is that the way to look at it? Or alternatively, we could suggest that it's not really related to mitzvahs at all. That mitzvahs have their own rules and they're all objective in themselves. But there's also an instruction to the Jewish people that in general, when they do mitzvahs, so if they do it in a way that shows a little bit more initiative and shows a little bit more of a contribution and shows that you're willing to take a little bit more of a bite, so that's something that shows a certain chashivas from your side. But the mitzvah itself remains the same either way. So that might be something to try to figure out. The fact is, the Ritva that we mentioned seems to be assuming the first way. Because the Ritva says that Heder Mitzvah must not be a Din HaTorah, because otherwise it would have to be Ma'akid. And he's bothered by the fact that apparently Heder Mitzvah, the way he gets it from Lulav Tzarech Eged, seems to not be Ma'akid. And therefore it can't be a Din HaTorah. That would only be true if we assume that Heder Mitzvah is a detail of mitzvahs. That the mitzvahs have a requirement that they be done behidim. But if you say the heder mitzvah is not really a detail of mitzvahs per se, but it's just an instruction to the individual to do all mitzvahs behidim, so then whether or not that mitzvah is performed would have nothing to do with any other specific mitzvah. So the fact that I'm not performing my lulav behidim shouldn't affect the fulfillment of lulav, because it's basically a separate command to me to do mitzvahs behidim. So the whole reading of the Ritva seems to assume not that way. It must be it's a din in performing the mitzvah of lulav, and all mitzvahs, and the mitzvah that we're talking about here is lulav. And the fact that it doesn't invalidate the mitzvah by its absence shows you that it's not manatar. But that whole proof seems to be assuming that it would be a detail in the mitzvah itself, and not necessarily a detail specific to the individual. Did everyone follow that? It was a little bit complicated. Does that more or less make sense? A little bit, yeah, but we'll try to flesh out more in that direction a little bit. But it's not even Kol HaPrati, it's it's a little bit different. It's still, either way, it's going to say it's chloe. It's something that's either, it's all definitely a general idea, but is it a general idea that attaches to the mitzvah, or is it a general idea that attaches more to the individual?
It's kind of like chatzis shir.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that works. Let's not try to compare it to anything else, because I think it's a little bit different. But is it a general idea in the mitzvah itself, or is it a general idea in the person? I think some suggest that this may also be relevant to Machlokas Rashi Tosfos and Nekamar and Bavakama. So we mentioned that there's a question of how much you have to add on in order to make a mitzvah fancier. So that's a question we've shown him. When we say adding on a third, what are we talking about? The example that we gave before was a third of the money. But that's actually a question we've shown him. That's one way to read the Gemara, that we're talking about adding on a third of the money spent on the mitzvah. The other possibility is that it's a third in size, because often in the context of the Gemara, we're talking about a srogan. So a srogan, sometimes when we talk about being fancier, we're talking about a larger esrog. So maybe we say adding on a third, we mean the esrog is however big, however you're going to measure size here. Anybody's into esrog measurements, whatever units used. So you add on one third of that to have a one third bigger esrog. So that's a question we're showing, and that could be relevant to this question also, because spending more money on the mitzvah does not really affect the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah is the exact same, regardless of how much money you spent on it. So the whole idea of you adding on part of your money to a mitzvah doesn't really have any significance to the esrog itself. The esrog is the 100% identical esrog whether you spend $25 or $2,000. It's only a question of how it's affecting your attitude towards the mitzvah. So that position that we're talking about adding on money may seem to indicate more that we're talking about how you react to a mitzvah, how much you're willing to sacrifice for it. Maybe Masha Enkin, if we're talking about the size of the mitzvah itself, that's at least more focused on the mitzvah independently. As we discussed in the context of Hanukkah, not this year, but maybe in past years, there is a interesting dispute between the Rambam and other Rishonim in relation to the mitzvah of Mila. As the Gemara there in Shabbos, Nafkuf Lama Gimel, by the whole sugi of Heder Mitzvah, so the Gemara talks about Mila. And again, we're not going to go into details, but there is a Heder way to do Mila, and there's a Stam way to do Mila. Without going into the details of the differences, you can do Mila in a way that's kosher, and you can do it better in a way that's the Heder. So the Gemara says that if you are doing a Mila, so you, ideally you should do it not just in a kosher way, but you should do it in a way that's Mahodar Asam. So then the Gemara says that if you already finished, if you already did the cut, and you have not done it in the way that's Mahodar, so the Gemara says that you don't go back and finish it the Heder way. Once you've already finish, you don't go back and add on the hitter. It's only while you're doing the original cut, so you try to do it together with the hitter. But if you've already finished it, then you don't go back and add on the hitter afterwards. That's what the Gemara says. And most Rishonim, Rashi, and Ramban, and the Tur, understand the Gemara in the context of Shabbos. They really were talking about it's Shabbos, and so normally you can't go around cutting people, but the mitzvah of Mila is Docha Shabbos. So that's true for the base mitzvah. And the hiddur you can also do as long as it's part of the same action. But to come back and do a hiddur mitzvah without a mitzvah itself on Shabbos, so the Isser of Shabbos is not going to allow you to do that. Will allow you to push away Shabbos for the mitzvah itself. But to push away Shabbos is for the hiddur, so many Rishonim seem to believe that that's what the Gemara was saying, you don't do that. However, the Rambam, Hilchos Mila and Perek Beis Halacha Daled, understands it differently. The Rambam understands the Gemara is talking about during the week. That any time, whether it's Shabbos or not, so you don't go back and add on the Hiddur once you've already finished. So why shouldn't you? Well, if it's Shabbos, I understand. If it's Shabbos, it's an issue stopping me. But if it's not Shabbos, then why shouldn't I go back? So, well, the trend in Achron to explain, the Shagas Ari explains, and the Brisker Rav explains, that the machlokas seems to be whether or not it's shayach to add on a hiddur separate from a mitzvah. Does the hiddur always have to be done together with the mitzvah? Or is it possible to come on and add a hiddur even after the mitzvah is finished? One might suggest within that, that this is related to our previous question, that is hiddur a detail in the mitzvah itself? In which case, the mitzvah, kol zman you have not done the hiddur, is lacking something, which you can then go back and fix. Or maybe is it a detail on how you're supposed to do mitzvahs? And once you've already done the mitzvah, so it's not really possible for you to go back and add in the heder later. Heder was a way that you're supposed to do the mitzvah ideally, and if you could do the mitzvah that way, great. But if not, then it doesn't make sense to come back and add on the heder later. But if you believe that heder is then in the mitzvah itself, maybe it makes more sense to say that the mitzvah is asking for the heder to be performed, and even after you've already performed the mitzvah, it's still possible to come back and do the heder. So maybe the Rambam's position that you can never go back, even during the week, understands heder to be a din in the way you do mitzvahs, and if you've already performed the mitzvah without it, so it's not a chance to come back. This is relevant to the whole discussion that they have. The Beit Halevi has a truth about this. The story has it about Reb Chaim. We mentioned this sometimes in the context of Chanukah, right? The story has it about Reb Chaim. I think in the Sefer Nefesh Chai, in the end, is a shtickel from Reb Lazer Silver. So he quotes the story from Reb Chaim, but the Beit Halevi also has it, basically Reb Chaim's father. And it's true, this in Chiluk Aleph and Siman Mem Zayin. And the question of, let's say you have two esrogim, and one esrog is definitely kosher, but it's questionable whether or not it's mehudar. And you have the extra, you have another esrog that's definitely mehudar, but you're not sure if it's kosher. Right? So two esrogim. Only one of them is definitely kosher, and one of them is definitely mehudar. But neither one of them is both definitely kosher and both mehudar. So the question is, what should you do? So Reb Chaim assumed that you should make the bracha and then pick up the definitely mehudar, questionably kosher one first. And then afterwards pick up the definitely kosher, questionably mehudar one. Because if you pick up the definitely mehudar one first, so if it's kosher, so good, so it's kosher and mehudar. And then if it's not, then the next one you pick up will be kosher, so you'll at least get the kosher mitzvah. But if you do it the other way around, you pick up the definitely kosher one first, so then you yotzei the mitzvah with that one. And then if it's not mehudar, it's too late to get the heder in the second one, because you can't add on a heder after you have already done the mitzvah. That's the way Reb Chaim seemed to assume. Others disagree. Reb Lazer Silver himself, who was quoting the story, he felt that he can't do that because he thought the first lakicha would be a hefsek. So therefore, that plan is not gonna work. But Nelson Geshadner points out in his shuvah that he feels this whole example is not really so relevant, because it's one thing if you're really talking about doing a hiddur completely separate from the mitzvah. But here, every act of picking up an esrog is a separate mitzvah, so it's a separate action. So even if you fulfilled mitzvah of esrog once, but the second thing you're picking up is still its own independent entity, and it's possible to do a hiddur on that even if you already fulfilled the mitzvah before. And the shiurim that they have from just mentioned also that Abinazer in his tshuva, Abinazer suggests that this whole plan wouldn't work because he says it's not possible to have a hiddur on a suffolk mitzvah. So you don't know that it's even a mitzvah, so it's not shayach to say that that's what the Abinazer says. It's not shayach to say that that's at all of a hiddur.
Why?
Because you don't know if it's kosher. The shiurim that they had that they printed from Zalman Nechemi Goldberg, Sefer Or HaMoedim, Shiurim HaMoedim. So he writes that this is probably relevant to the whole discussion that Achronim has and the Shulchan Aruch has about whether or not it's possible to do mitzvahs or not. You do mitzvahs in such a way that you say, if it's A, then I want the mitzvah to work. If it's B, then I want the mitzvah not to work. And if so, so then maybe that should affect this question, that you should be able to pick up the first esrog and say, if it's kosher, then I want to fulfill my mitzvah of esrog with this one. If not, then I want to fulfill it with the other one. That's a question, whether or not tonight works in mitzvahs. Why would I need it tonight? Because if you want to get out of Reb Chaim's problem of fulfilling the mitzvah with a non-mehudar one, just in case you can do the hiddur with the other one, let's say one of them is kosher, let's say it turned out to both be kosher, and you picked up the definitely kosher non-mehudar one first, you don't want to mess up your hiddur, so maybe you should do it all tonight, saying that I'm only picking it up on the assumption that I'm doing it the right way. So that's a question posing whether or not Tanai really works by mitzvahs. It's just reiteration of Chuvah when she says he doesn't understand the whole idea why a Tanai should work in mitzvah. If you know what you're doing, you shouldn't be able to undo it by making it Tanai. In any case, so that whole discussion of whether or not it's possible to go back and do a hiddur mitzvah afterwards, that may go back to our original question. So is it that hiddur mitzvah is a detail in the mitzvah that's asking to be taken care of? Or is it a detail in how you do a mitzvah and maybe it's not sure I have to come back and do it later? It's also a question in Poskim whether or not Heder Mitzvah is relevant to things you don't see. It's a big question in Rishonim, for example, whether or not Heder Mitzvah is applicable to Tefillin, and specifically the parts of Tefillin that are hidden. For example, so we have a din that the Ksav of a Sefer Torah is supposed to be Mahadur, that the writing in a Sefer Torah is supposed to look nice. And it's a question we're showing him whether or not that's also true about the Parshias, the Ksav and the Parshias that are inside the Tefillin. The presumption being, those who believe that it doesn't apply to Tefillin, because since the Parshias are hidden, since no one sees them, so maybe there's no point in making that bid. That's a big question. You're showing him whether or not Heder Mitzvah is applicable to things that don't get seen at all. And that might also be relevant, but if you believe that Heder Mitzvah is a din in the mitzvah itself, so maybe it doesn't matter so much whether or not you can see it. But if it's a din in people relating to it, so then maybe there's more of an inyan that a davka has to be, that a davka has to be something that people see. The Chronim in general like to ask a question in relation to Heder Mitzvah, whether or not Heder Mitzvah an individual mitzvah, whether or not it attaches to the mitzvah itself in the sense of it becomes whatever details apply to the mitzvah apply to the hitter also, or is it something that's just kind of external, which also ties back into what we're talking about. You know, is this a detail that grafts onto mitzvahs, individual mitzvahs, or is it more of a din and you? And that itself has lots of, has many nafkaminas. One nafkamina would be, again, whether it be Dofa Shabbos, like we saw from the Gemara, the question of whether or not hitter by a mila. Bidocha Shabbos, is a mitzvah that's being Docha Shabbos, so does the Hidr come along with that? Also, what about the Bidocha Los Esei? Right, we have a klal that Esei is Docha Los Esei, that Mitzvah Esei takes precedence over Mitzvah Los Esei. So what about the Hidr of Mitzvah Esei? So if you have a clash between a Hidr mitzvah and the Los Esei, so does the Hidr mitzvah win? Does it become part of the Mitzvah Esei? Or is it, no, it's something extra, and even though a mitzvah say is powerful enough to push off a lo say, maybe hidr isn't. Sorry? Oh, yes, it's its own mitzvah say. Right, the question about that, if you would have mitzvah say chiyuvis in the same sense, you know, to say it's an obligation the same way it's not mitzvah say is, right, to say that hidr mitzvah itself is an say, is one of the 613, the mitzvah. That might be a little bit of a jump, but when you have a normal mitzvah essay and you're dealing with a hidur of that, so then that has to be docha los essay. So once again, our sponsor Reb Zichlo Chanan and Shuvah Yisrael Yitzchak presumed that it would not be enough. A related nafka mina might be also for the issue of osik mitzvah patur and a mitzvah. Right, if you're involved in one mitzvah, so you're not obligated to stop that and do another mitzvah. So what if you're involved in a hidur mitzvah? Are you obligated to stop that? That's a discussion also in Poskim. The Tshuva Sisayrus Tshuva talks about this. Do we view the mitzvah as the hidden mitzvah as part of the mitzvah itself? Arkidei kach, they would be able to push it away, push away other mitzvahs that would come up because it's both sacred mitzvah. Similarly, what about Talmud Torah? That's something that Tziv talks about in his Emek Shalom, in his commentary to the Shulchan. So normally, we assume that being involved in learning does not exempt you from mitzvahs. At least mitzvahs that are incumbent on you personally. If it's Asher Asle Dei Cherim, so the Gemara says it is, Talmud Torah does tie to you, but the mitzvah that no one else can take care of, or it's your personal responsibility to begin with, so then the rule is that even though normally Osek Mitzvah Patur a Mitzvah, so that's not true by Talmud Torah, that if you're in the middle of learning, so that does not exempt you from other mitzvahs. But what if that mitzvah that you want to be exempted from is only a Hidr mitzvah? So do we say that the mitzvahs all winning over Talmud Torah is only true about the mitzvah itself, or it's also true about the hidden mitzvah? That's something that the Nitziv discusses. Also, the question of a bracha might be relevant. Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Shuvas in Madura Tinyana in Siman Yud Gimel, so has a discussion. The discussion is by Neiros Chanukah, and as we sometimes discuss in the context of Neiros Chanukah, I don't think we talked about this year, but in the previous we were talking about the concept of Neiros Chanukah, the Hidr by Chanukah might be a whole separate concept, so this question may not be relevant, but assuming for a second that it's not, so the Eger has a discussion of somebody who lit the first candle in his candlelights and didn't make a bracha, and then wanted to add on the extra candles, which the Gemara says are Mishum Hidr, right? You light five candles on the fifth night of Chanukah, so really make your din, the Gemara says you're only obligated to light one candle. And you light five candles, that's a mahadrim and a mahadrim. So to make a bracha on the extra candles, so the Eger quotes, that's a dispute between the pre-chadish and the Eliyahu Rabbah. Now once again, many achronim took the position that this dispute is really special to for Chanukah, because maybe hit or miss by Chanukah is something special. But if you don't come on to that pshat, so then this question could be, so is it shayach to make a brach on a hiddur or only on a mitzvah itself? And that may also go to this question of, and also go to the question of whether or not hiddur mitzvah attaches to the mitzvah itself. In this sefer over here, Divrei Or, he has a discussion of the question of whether or not, he discusses the possibility there that hiddur mitzvah shouldn't apply to things like eating. Although there's interesting Rashbam in Pesachim, in the 10th parak of Pesachim, that says that eating matzah b'te'ovon is a hiddur, that having a good appetite for matzah is a hiddur. That's one of the, there are a couple of interesting positions in Rishonim about extend hiddur beyond the chetza idea, but also to other ideas. That Rashbam definitely seems to be taking it as a din of the gavra. Right. There's also a Tosfos and Brachos in the end of Chaf. The Tosfos says to fulfill mitzvos like Brachos, to fulfill Brachos by saying them yourself instead of through Shemaic Ona, that's a hiddur. It's also a unique position. But in any case, so in the Divrei Or he talks about whether that hiddur mitzvah applies to things like one versus the other. That's a different question also, but we'll get to that. We'll discuss that again in a second. But let's say things involve eating, so if you have to involve, the hitter would say, eat more, or something like that, so does hitter apply to that? So he talks about Lecha Mishnah. He suggests that maybe hitter mitzvah doesn't apply to things that involve Hanos HaGuf. Mitzvahs that involve personal enjoyment, so maybe hitter mitzvah doesn't apply to that. Why not? Because it won't be clear that you're doing anything extra for the mitzvah, because since you enjoy it anyway, so that maybe that's not called a hiddur, because there's not going to be any recognizable hiddur for the sake of the mitzvah. He talks about hiddur mitzvah in Kiddushin also. Is there an Indian to marry somebody who's mahudr? Something Rishas talks about once in a while. Very wild position, very interesting position. So he suggests here in this Divrei Or that maybe the whole idea of hiddur mitzvah doesn't apply to things that involve hanas hagof. And that would also really seem to suggest that hiddur is a din in the gavra, because the mitzvah doesn't really care whether or not you're getting hanas from it. But if it's a din in the gavra and that's limited by the fact that you're getting hanas from it, so then maybe that could explain why there would be such a reservation. So also a discussion in this sefer here, Tshuva Shavei Tzion, in Simon Chafhei, and in other svarim, whether or not you can use meiser money to perform a hiddur mitzvah. And he suggests that should be relevant to the general chakira and achronim about hiddur mitzvah also, because we have a general rule that you're not supposed to use meiser money for mitzvahs. So if you want to say the hiddur mitzvah attaches itself to the mitzvah itself, so that is basically just a normal mitzvah expense. And the same way you shouldn't use the meiser money to pay for mitzvah straight, so you shouldn't use it for the hiddur either. But if hiddur is something extra that just represents your own spirit of voluntarism, so but it doesn't attach itself to the mitzvah itself, so then maybe there's more room to say that you're allowed to take from money of meiser. It's an interesting possibility. And just to mention that, I'm not going to go into it, because anyway, you should be aware that is a question in Poskim. So Poskim do discuss how do you deal clashes between hiddur mitzvah and other things. As we were mentioning, well, on one hand, what about hiddur mitzvah versus rizum makdim mitzvahs? Let's say you have a choice of doing a mitzvah quickly or doing it perfectly. What should you take? That's a big dispute in Rishonim and really Machronim. So should you take your earliest opportunity to do a mitzvah because of the rule of rizum makdim mitzvahs? Or should you wait until you can do the mitzvah perfectly because of the din of hiddur mitzvah? So that's a question. What do you feel is a bigger deal? And you have to be mafalpel in each side and figure out which one is part of the mitzvah itself, which one is more of an add-on, and then figure out which one comes up more. And what Akiva alluded to a minutes ago was also a question of whether or not, let's say, hiddur mitzvah versus mitzvah by Yosemi B'shlucho. If you could do a mitzvah yourself, or have it done better through someone else, so what should you prefer? That's probably most frequently discussed in the context of Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Shibin Arav has a truth about that, the Shuvah Stov Mesharim, and the Shuvah Svar Yeshua talked about this, a popular discussion in Poskim. So the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, the Rush has a different view of how we fulfill that Zman HaZeh, but in theory, the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah, so I could do that myself. Let's say I could figure out at least how to do it in a way that would be kosher. Right, but probably wouldn't be the most impressive Torah you ever saw. Or I could appoint the Shliach, a sofer, who knows how to do it nicely, and he'll make a Mahudr Sefer Torah. So what's the best way of doing it? So there, most poskim seem to favor the idea that you should have the sofer do it, that the Heder Mitzvah at least beats Mitzvah Yosim B'Shlucho. Mitzvah Yosim B'Shlucho, that we can discuss more in detail another time, but that a lot of poskim believe is not really such a serious din. We don't know where it comes from. It's nice, but it might be a din Drabbanan. So poskim definitely felt that Heder Mitzvah, the Keli Vinveyu, wins out at least over Mitzvah Yosim B'Shlucho. It's a reason why Kima Mitzvah is a little bit more of a discussion, perhaps. Just mention one more point. So the Gemara in Maseches Menachos and Daf Samach Dalei and Aleph discusses a korban sibur that's being done on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, let's say you shechted an animal for the korban sibur, and then you see that there's a nicer animal, but there's a bigger animal. So the Gemara says, even though you already shechted an animal, and shechting on Shabbos is kind of not so ideal, but nonetheless, you can shecht again to get the better animal. So the Shachas Aryeh already points out that seems to be saying that Heder Mitzvah is Docha Shabbos. You see that you can shecht another animal even though you already have an animal shechted in order to fulfill a Heder Mitzvah. That's a question how you relate to that. The Emor Yosher, I believe, felt that no, that's not really a Raya that Heder Mitzvah is Docha Shabbos, but rather, in that case, since we're talking about a Korban Sibur, so the whole shechita was done b'shlichus, was done on behalf of the whole tzibur, and the presumption is the tzibur would have wanted the best animal, and therefore, if it was not the best animal to shecht the first time, so then the presumption is that that was a flaw in the shlichus, and that wouldn't have been kosher anyway. That's the one approach. Another rachonim take the approach. This is something that Rabbi Werman discusses in Mishnah Yosef, and others discuss also that maybe karbanos are different. Because there is a din of Yimivchar Nidrecha. That maybe Karbanis have a special din that there you're supposed to dafka do the best, and that's not part of the din of Heder Mitzvah of Zekei Levi'an Deyu. It's a special din that's specific to Karbanos, and therefore it's not possible to take a raya from there to other things. So that's just an interesting point to be aware of. If that's true, so there are a number of areas of halacha where Heder Mitzvah takes on a larger status than it does in general. Karbanis maybe being one example. Neres Chanukah maybe being another example, right? We discuss, it's a discussion of itself, but it's possible that the Heder that we find by Chanukah is its own din. It's also possible that we find more stringencies in relationship to Esrog. Right? It's a dispute between Rashi and Tosfos in the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah, but there also the Torah goes out of its way to say pre-Eitz Hadar, so it's possible that by Esrog there are more chumras attached to Heder than there are by other mitzvahs. So just this, just a ha'ara that there are certain areas of halacha where Heder is a bigger deal, but in general you have it as a general principle by all mitzvahs, but there might be some exceptions where, not exception in the sense that Heder mitzvah doesn't apply, but it maybe applies in a stronger sense. Alright, so just quickly chazer, so what did we talk about? So we talked about the din of Heder mitzvah that the Torah says that Kelev and Veyu is not the front of the mitzvahs in the interpretation of the Gemara, and it's a little bit of a debate among Yishonim and Achronim whether or not Heder mitzvah is actually the Minatora, whether the Gemara is just kind of attaching it to this pasuk. And we mentioned in that context that Bar Yoshua was shocked that anyone could really believe it's the Drabbanan, in light of the fact that will leave you without a viable interpretation for the pasuk. And we mentioned also the dispute of how to read the Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Tes, whether you add on 50% to 33%. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch passing the Kula might indicate that it's in Drabbanan, perhaps the way Rizuko Chanan understood it, and discussed the Ritva's position that Heder Mitzvah has got to be Drabbanan because otherwise it would be Ma'akev. And then we asked whether Heder Mitzvah is a din that attaches itself to Mitzvah itself, or whether it attaches itself to the person, and that the Ritva seems to be assuming that it attaches itself to Mitzvahs, and we discussed probably also relevant to Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos, and Bava Kamma, whether you add on a third in money or a third in the size of the Esrog, and we discussed as well the question of, Heder Mitzvah that is hidden. Does it apply to things that are hidden or not, which also seems to relate to this question of a din in the mitzvah or a din in the gavra. And then we discussed also the general question that Achronim have, whether Hidder incorporates stuff into mitzvah mamish for all details, or whether it's whether it's larger. We talked about the Rambam against the other Rishonim by Mila, whether or not you can add on a Hidr after the mitzvah is already finished. We discussed various approaches to that whole scenario and the whole discussion about Esrog and the definitely kosher Esrog and the not so definitely kosher Esrog and the whole Rechaim story and doing mitzvah on Sinai. And right, they talked about the ramifications of Hidr mitzvah joining mitzvah itself, whether it would be Docha Shabbos, whether it would be Docha Alosafe, whether it would Paki from other mitzvahs, whether you would have to do it instead of Talmud Torah, all things like that. And then we talked a little bit about Hanas HaGuf, whether or not it applies to mitzvahs which involve Hanas HaGuf, and we had discussed that might be relevant, and also the question of Hidr mitzvah from Meister money. And alluded to a little bit the question of weighing up Hidr mitzvah against other things, Hidr mitzvah against using my human mitzvah, so then mitzvah b'yosim b'shulcho. And then we just mentioned also the fact that the Gemara seems to say in the context of Karbanos that, as the Sheikh Zari points out, it seems to say clearly that Hidr mitzvah is Docha Shabbos because we allow you to shecht another animal just for the purposes of Hidr, and discuss the Yerusha's approach to that, and the approach of some Achronim that Karbanos are special because the pasuk of Mitzvah Nidrecha, and so then we just mentioned that there are a number of areas where Hidr seems to take a more prominent role, perhaps in Karbanos, perhaps in Hanukkah, and perhaps in Sukkah. It is so the whole concept is a little hard to relate to because by definition it's optional, and at the same time we have halachas about it and we have regulations. It's a little bit hard to wrap your mind around, but nonetheless, that seems to be the case, that there's a desire to volunteer something. At the same time, we have rules about what that means. Sorry? Yes.
All right. Over 2 years ago, you did about Nerissa.
Why is Hidr mitzvah derabanan? Would that be better derisa? Because it has its own meaning. No, that's not necessarily the question of the derisa or not. The question of whether
it incorporates itself into the mitzvah. You said that Hidr mitzvah is a great thing.
That's beyond the question of the Raisa Drabanan. The question is more just whether it attaches to the mitzvah itself. And by Hanukkah, there's a theory in Achronim that Hidr mitzvah takes a more central role than it does by other mitzvahs.
Why?
Well,
all
Hanukkah is Drabanan.
Yes, we should do. You keep alluding to the
I think Rashi says there that a lulav hayavish is possible mishum zekeli v'nveyu. And Tosfos says no, that can't be because it's dafka because of the pasuk of priyei tzaver.
Also, you said
mamon
versus
mina question. Mamon versus size. Yeah.